You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello everyone and welcome along to the Daily Racing Podcast brought to you by William Hill. You join us on Tuesday's edition of the podcast. We're taking a look ahead a little bit later on to racing at Kelso and Newcastle. There's also a meeting at Leicester on Tuesday. We'll be live on Racing Radio from 12:45 Tuesday afternoon for all of the action. Sam Norris here, joined in the studio by John Budden on this edition of the podcast. John, how are you?
I'm in very good shape, Sam. Carlisle United are doing very well, not as well as your team Wolves,
no.
But nevertheless they are doing well.
Excellent news. We'll start with the Monday jury, as we always do on Tuesday's podcast, and it's largely a bit of a look back to the weekend, and as you might imagine, a look ahead to potential clues for the festival, starting with Mr. Fisher, who was a winner over the course of the weekend. And what chance do you give Mr. Fisher in the Supreme, John? Is a 10-1 chance with us here at William Hill. It looks an open renewal, the Supreme.
Yes, you've got a fair chance, I think, Sam. Mind you, it's still a bit early for this particular race. Nicky Henderson could have something else, and so could a number of other, you know, influential trainers, not least from across the Irish Sea. So I wouldn't put Mr. Fisher at the top of my lists for the Supreme, but nevertheless, he definitely got a fair chance. I think 10-1 is a reasonable price. He dug in well to win at Haydock, I thought, and before that had run well at Kempton. So he's in there with a definite chance.
It's hard to discount too many at this stage, isn't it, John?
Very hard. You know, it's a sort of race that basically you need to look at almost in the day before, or certainly at the 5 days. And I think Mr. Fisher will probably be there.
Question two may be a slightly easier one to answer, and that's Global Citizen's chances in the Champion Hurdle. Now, Global Citizen priced up at 25-1. Didn't scream a Champion Hurdle winner to me, John. What about yourself?
No, it doesn't appeal to me as a Champion Hurdle winner either. interesting, there was a slight change of tactics in Global Citizen's run at the weekend. He has been very much a front runner. Obviously, he was ridden with slightly more patience. Did the job well, but I think 25-1 is a reasonable quote for him in the Champion. I can't see him beating horses like Bouverdere, Lerina, and Star Gem myself, but there we are.
Yes, I think I would agree with that. Any Grand National types catch your eye at Haydock or Taunton? Obviously, the Peter Marsh Chase is very often a reasonably good guide to the National, won by Wakanda.
Yeah, I thought it was a bit substandard
okay. Myself,
Sam. Wakanda, you know, I don't fancy Wakanda to win the Grand National, but collaterally. Interesting, because of course represents Sue and Harvey Smith, who have a great record in the race, and I think they've got a possible, a definite contender for the National in another horse of theirs called Sharp Response, who I thought jumped really well in his last two outings and appeared to be staying on very strongly at the end of the last one at Catterick. Absolutely murdered the field. It wasn't a great one. It was in the good old Northern Grand National at Catterick, but did the job really well, jumped superbly. And I thought, Wakanda winning the Peter Marsh suggested that Sharp Response could go quite well. Great pity about one for Arthur. He was, in my view, just about coming into the race. I don't necessarily think he would have won it. I'm sure he wouldn't, the Peter Marsh, but he was doing what he likes to do and what he has done really well. Nowhere for the first half of the race, and then gradually creeping into it. And he would have stayed. And if be unseated or fall for the second time in a row is a great pity. He'll have to run again, and let's hope this time, you know, the whatever it was, 2017 champion at the Grand National level will complete the course and show that he can jump round as well as he did at entry then.
Yes, and of course not too many horses go on to win again after national success.
They don't do this, no. And certainly one for Arthur's got to show quite significant improvement.
Next up, Ballymoy or Surname. Are they worth chucking into the mix for Cheltenham, either of those two?
Not really, I don't think. I'm quite interested in Ballymoy because I thought that he won nicely at Haydock and then followed it up, obviously, at Ascot over the weekend. I don't think he has been aimed at anything great at Cheltenham. There is a suggestion I think he's going to Fontwell for the National Spirit Hurdle. But he's quite a useful sort. That they might find a race for him. What interests me about Ballymoy is, in fact, the Nicky Richards horse, Better Get Along. Now, Better Get Along finished quite well behind Ballymoy when that horse won at Haydock, was in the Ascot race at the weekend, didn't manage to repeat the Haydock running. I thought Better Get Along would improve and probably beat Ballymoy at Ascot. I think we've got to take Ascot running, in fact, on the weekend a little bit in question because the ground was definitely quicker than expected. Mr. Whittaker, for example, was a disappointment, and I think that was down to the ground. I don't fancy his Surname that much. I thought he ought to have won at Carlisle earlier in the year and didn't, and he's not very big either.
Okay, on to the penultimate question. The Racing Post has obviously been counting down their definitive list of two-mile chasers. Who was your favourite in that division, past or present, John?
Well, of course, I think Masterminded was probably my, you know, two-mile champion. But a favourite, one would have to go for One Man.
All right, okay.
A tremendous win under Brian Harding in 1997. You know, that would be my favourite one. Not, alas, probably the best.
Well, no, that's fair enough. The question is about your favourite, of course. Finally, speaking of two-mile chasers, would you like to see the Clarence House revert back to a handicap? Obviously, just the three runners for this year's renewal, John. It hasn't attracted a big field since becoming a Grade One. We've had a lot of short-priced favourites. Don't get me wrong, some good horses have won the race. Obviously, Altior this year, no exception. But it's not that satisfactory as a Grade One, really.
Yeah, difficult to say, isn't it? If it's a Grade One, basically, it's a bit demotion for the racecourse, etc., to go back to a handicap. It was disappointing that there were only four runners in the 5-day, three in the actual lineup. But the ground was quicker. I think it's important to realise that the ground was really quite quick at Ascot, and that would have put off several horses that might have run if the ground had been softer. It's difficult to say. I'm standing on the hedge, very much standing on the hedge rather than sitting on it, and it might be an idea to bring it back to a handicap, but I don't, not heavily committed, and in a way I think Grade One should stay Grade One.
Okay. I suppose there isn't a raft of top Grade One 2-mile chasers at the moment, and those that there are don't want to take on Altior very much.
Yeah, no, absolutely, exactly. And you know, what would happen to the really good horses in the handicap? I mean, they presumably be handicapped out of it. And
Altior wouldn't have ran in it, would he, if it was a handicap?
No, and you get a substandard race. So on the whole, I would leave it.
Okay, let's turn attention on to some of Monday's racing then. We've got Kelso, Leicester and Newcastle as the three meetings. John's got one from Kelso and one from Newcastle lined up for us. Beginning with the 125 at Kelso, this is a handicap hurdle over 3 miles and a furlong. We've got the dead eight runners at the time of recording. Hopefully it stays that way, particularly if you're of an each way perspective in this race. And a decent field has lined up, including last year's winner, Landecker. What were your thoughts on this year's renewal?
Well, I won't be going each way. That will be my major thoughts, Sam. Yeah, Landecker loves Kelso. I think he's won sort of almost double-figure times around the border course. But he is getting a bit long in the fang. He's been ridden by Kit Alexander tomorrow. In favour of Landecker, you would have to say that the Alexander horses are in tremendous form, and it wouldn't be a great shock, but I'm not going to select it. Going down from the top, Tax Me If You Can is interesting. Keith Dalgleish, anything which Keith Dalgleish trains, you've got to sort of note carefully. This horse has all run last in a two-mile race on the flat, all weather at Lingfield. I made a lot of the running and then dropped away tamely and was last over hurdles at Ayr and I think at Haydock as well. So I think he's at the top of the weights, hard to win. Too many... Chiefs it is, isn't it?
Yes.
Too Many Chiefs, again, now with Sharon Watts, has been very consistent, but is right at the top of the handicap. Then we come a little bit further down the field, and we have Sun Cloud. Ruth Jefferson, her horse is going really well, you know, particularly horses that haven't raced for some time, like Sun Cloud. Likes the trip, likes Kelso, got Jamie Hamilton on board, could go reasonably well. The two that I particularly like are Just a Tenner, who represents Tristan Davidson, who trains at Irvington, not all that far from Budden Towers in Cumbria. He's done a remarkable performance, you know, Tristan Davidson. He's still handing out the winners, and Inchcombe is the latest one to win, I think, three or four in a row. And Just a Tenner's been in action for a long while, but ran very well for Harry Reid at Haydock last time and was fourth in a fine Northern Lights final at Carlisle before that. Could easily come back to winning form. Arthur's Secret, another one who has got consistency on his side, doesn't win all that often. And the danger to Just a Tenner, and I think has to be the selection, is Lucinda Russell's Mighty Thunder. Now, Mighty Thunder was a winner at Kelso last time out, did the job well, and is wearing, I think, cheek pieces for the first time in this race. Blair Campbell rides, taking £5 off, and I thought Mighty Thunder, who is a Kelso, well, specialist might be a bit of an exaggeration, but likes Kelso, will probably turn out the winner. Mighty Thunder, just to win that and beat Just a Tenner.
Mighty Thunder gets the vote then in that 125 race at Kelso. We're on to the all-weather at Newcastle for the next selection. This is the 410 race at Newcastle. A long-distance handicap, 2 miles is the trip, but a Class 2 event, a decent pot on offer. And again, eight runners at the time of recording for this one. John, your thoughts?
Interesting race. It's headed by Stargazer, who was a winner at Newcastle last time out, trained, of course, by Philip Kirby. And so we're talking about trainers in form. Oof. There are a few trainers in better form at the moment under both codes than Philip Kirby. And that could easily win again, but has got plenty of weight, Stargazer. Just dropping down the list a little bit further, we have Addicted to You, represents Mark Johnston. I haven't been very lucky with Mark Johnston's all-weather runners over the winter. But Addicted to You has got to improve significantly to win this, I think. Was eighth in a race at Kempton, where several of the runners did in fact take part, and before that gone to Germany for a listed race, was actually pulled up there, wears a visor for the first time, and is written by Jason Hart, I think, which is interesting booking for Mark Johnston, but I don't fancy the horse all that much. Edison Rock is interesting, simply because John Best trains his horse, and he's come up a long way from Kent to Newcastle for this particular engagement, and was fourth at Kempton in the race where Addicted to You was eighth. We then move into Busy Street, who's been, well, living up to his name, quite busy,
yes,
and was fourth at Southall last time out. Zubair is one which has to be considered. Again, running at Kempton in that race, and Zubair has got good placed form, nicely weighted here, but I think it's got perhaps to improve a little bit to win this class too. And then at the bottom, we have my choice, loud and clear. And this is, of course, Jovial Jim Goldie. And the reason why I prefer Loud and Clear to Stargazer is that Loud and Clear is twice a winner on the Tapeter here at Newcastle. Once last time out over course and distance, and before that over a slightly shorter trip. But he obviously likes and enjoys running at Newcastle. Phil Dennis takes off a useful £3. Jovial Jim's horse is in pretty good shape, and Loud and Clear will be my choice.
Loud and Clear then for John in that 4:10 race at Newcastle. Goes with his early selection of Mighty Thunder in the 125 at Kelso. We'll be on air from 12:45 Tuesday afternoon for Kelso, Leicester and also Newcastle. But John, thank you very much for that and enjoy it.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.